Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 14 of Go Bayside. As I say every episode, the Saved by the Bell podcast, where I invite a friend over to my apartment and we watch an episode of Saved by the Bell and then immediately pick it apart. And today's guest is a very special guest, actually, who happens to be in town and who happens to be my best friend since we were, what, 14, 15?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
This is Millie DeCherico.
Hi, everyone.
She is programmer at Turner Classic Movies, and even though not a professional comedian, probably the funniest person I've ever met in my life. So deal with it. Okay, well, let me get the paperwork out of the way. The episode that we just watched is called The Election, and the original air date was November 18th, 1989. So, and I also want to say to you guys, again, I've been getting a lot of awesome emails saying these are all on Netflix, so you can watch them on Netflix. And here, I do want to point this out, by the way, I've been wrong a couple of times.
Oh.
I got an email from Celia Delaney, pointing out a thing that I forgot, that the Max is apparently owned by the school board, because remember, in an upcoming episode, they have to save the Max. Or, and I think, and also the KKTY episode, when they find out there was a radio station there, then that's when Belding is like, the Max is owned by the school board.
Right. So yeah, I never understood if that was like, if the Max was like down the street, or if it was
too,
like in like a restaurant in the bottom of a hotel
Here's the thing, though. I don't think it's on campus, because there are also, remember Senior Skip Day episode where like they get in, Zach gets in trouble for trying to go there. So I would think if it was a school, it might be owned by the school board, I guess, technically, but it's not a school establishment. You know, it's still a restaurant. I feel like it's still a public restaurant.
Where they constantly have school events.
Dances.
I think they had like, wasn't there radio? No, the radio station was not actually at the Max, but it was like, yeah, they just keep having
If it is technically owned by the school board, I'm going to go on record as saying I still think it's weird they have school functions there.
Yeah.
They seem to still get in trouble if they try to skip school to go there. So I don't think it's like an extension of the school. I mean, there are still, I think, private citizens that, like, go eat there, right?
Well, clearly Max is getting some kind of, something's getting a little under the table from Belding or
from
someone.
Must be, or else it would have failed a long time. Okay, I'm the way off the talk. Okay, so really quickly, as we do, the guest, go ahead and give a brief synopsis of the plot, and then we'll really dig into the details.
Okay. I feel like this was like a real whirlwind episode in terms of, I mean, the action was fast-paced.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, let's see.
This is also one of our, it's such a good, like, I can't believe the coincidence that you're here for this episode, because it's one of our favorite episodes.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite episodes because
that, like, we even talked about in like high school and stuff when we watched this.
And there's like a line in this episode that we just say almost like every week to each other. Okay, so there's a school. It's called The Election. School elections are happening. Of course, Jesse being the overachiever, like, she's super into being president.
Of course,
and
it's got to look good on her college transcript.
Yeah, she just wants to, you know, she's wearing her like responsible vest with like these really horrible jeans.
Maybe I think they were girl Z Cavaricci's.
Women's high waisted Z Cavaricci, like business jeans, maybe. Like, and then with like a tie or something.
Right.
So then she, you know, she's all gung ho, and like everybody is, she's pretty much slated to be the winner. Like, you know, everyone's like, yeah.
Well, because nobody's challenging her.
No one's challenging her. And then suddenly, Zach, of course, you know, finds out that there's this like trip to Washington, D.C. that's being given to the winner of the election. And so he's basically all about the trip and somehow thinks that he's going to just party. And he's, what is he, like 15?
They might still be 14.
And so he basically assumes that this is going to be this unchaperoned, like, you know, he's just going to go hang out with like ladies and like he's getting pamphlets for like Washington After Dark. It's like, where are you going to go? You're like 14. And so he's motivated to, you know, basically run against Jesse just for the trip.
Right.
He gets his, you know, crony Screech, who's also like a professional pollster. And so basically it's just the two of them launching their separate campaigns, and Zach's platform is clearly like a party platform.
Right.
Where he promises like pizza every day. which is like an industry standard party guy platform in every TV show. Totally. It's like, hey, guess what? Detention is for teachers. We're going to party.
We're going to party and eat pizza and nachos.
Yeah, pizza
That's
and
how
hot
you know
dogs
I party.
And nachos.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the beach every day. It's like every guy or woman, party woman in every show.
Yeah.
So then, you know, Jesse's like, you know, I can't believe you're doing this to me. They launch disparate campaigns, but then as it turns out, all of the friends kind of get behind Jesse because they realize that she's not a total sociopath scumbag.
Sure.
And then, of course, Screech is faithfully by Zach's side. So then at some point, Slater tells Belding that he has a suspicion that Zach is basically just going to, like, you know, do this for the trip.
Right.
Belding decides that he's going to tell Zach the trip's off. So, of
right,
course, it completely changes his stilo, and he decides that he's going
to
be this really boring, you know, like, oh, we're gonna have homework every day, and he puts on a jacket and everything like that. And then Jesse turns into the party girl because she's trying to win votes, so it's like a flip.
Yeah.
And let's see what else. Do I have to tell the ending?
Yeah, Zach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Zach ends up winning.
Zach
but
wins.
Then confesses.
Jesse's destroyed.
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 Absolutely
as she's
destroyed.
Sitting suddenly in her bedroom with all of her campaign paraphernalia around her, like, I'm a failure. Zach won. I'm scum. I don't know how to party or whatever.
Right.
And then he comes over through the window and is like, listen, I'm an ass. Like,
I
totally fucked you over. And let's have this like really sensitive like exchange of like childhood toys to like symbolize that we have a friendship, even though I would totally stab you in the fucking back for a trip
and do every episode.
Yeah.
Totally.
So that's kind of how it ends. And
okay,
you know, I think it's, isn't it sort of like the idea is that he's gonna just like, because that's the thing.
Well, he learns his lesson for like 5 minutes until the next episode where he does whatever he has to do again to fuck someone over to get what he wants.
But did he even mention that he was going to like basically resign from the position?
Or he did. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to go resign tomorrow.
Okay. I guess I didn't catch that. But
okay. So let's get into it. When the episode first opens, they're walking down the hall and there are all these posters, you know, for Jesse's campaign. And I got to say, I wrote, they're super professionally done.
They have
like, these were not cheap. This is not a poster board that she wrote on with Sharpie, vote for Jesse. They're like printed at Kinko's.
Yes.
Full color photograph of her.
Yes. She was not stealing office supplies from her dad's office to do these. I mean, they were Olin Mills professional photographs.
Portraits.
Portraits taken. And, you know, there is no gluing on these posters.
No,
they came
printed on like cardboard. And that's the thing, too, is that I think about how many episodes there are where they have to like raise money for something, or they don't have enough money for something, or they, you know, they say things like that. But then I see these and I'm like, that is expensive as shit. And plus, they all are wearing those like ticket taker, like step right up hats.
Yeah, they're like in
Dewey
a barbershop quartet.
Truman hats that say like, vote for Jesse, vote for Zach. And that's like, also, those are very expensive.
Very expensive. And not, I mean, and granted, this is 89. No internet.
No internet.
Amazon.
Like, you got to do the legwork to go out and get this made. You got to.
I wonder if we were to look at Dewey to Beach Truman
these.
Hats from 89 and compare
I'm
them to
the
prices.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're
today.
Called, first of all. I'm good at history, and that's what those are called. So, yeah, so all over the hallways already. Oh, and she has zero people running against her, so she spent all this money and has all these campaign things, and then you find out in the class that, like, no one's even running against her, so there's, like, no point in even having that.
She just decided, hey, I'm just going to print up a
she
bunch
could just
of shit.
Write on a poster board, like, I'm the only one running, you have to vote for me,
I have to
Jesse.
Convince no one.
Yeah.
To, you know, yeah, that's another thing.
Check a box in the only box that's on the ballot. That's mine.
Yeah.
That's what the poster could say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, super expensive professional posters. And then, almost immediately, Mr. Dewey comes in, and you have some...
Dewey is one of my faves. Like, Dewey and Tuttle, I go back and forth.
Really?
Between Faye
They're
Teach.
Really different dudes.
Different guys. Different
Dewey's
styles.
Very dry. Yeah. Totally different
But then
styles.
Dewey has, like, moments where he's, like, you know, you can tell he kind of has, like, an underlying, like... I don't know. Maybe he's kind of a secret badass. Maybe.
Oh,
like,
I think definitely.
Like a Garth Brooks or something.
No one is going to get that.
Anyway, off topic. But, you know, like he has these moments where he's basically just like uber nerd algebra guy. But then, like, you know, he kind of breaks in with like a little joke once in a while.
Yeah.
I like him. But, you know, he actually reminds me of a guy that I know. who I actually had dinner with last night, and they look exactly the same.
Do they have the same mannerisms?
Same mannerism, same age, maybe. And they're like super, I mean, just to a T, except my friend has less hair than Dewey. But anyway, it's like hilarious how much they look alike. And I just realized that as I was watching
I don't think
this.
That you wouldn't tell them that, though. I don't think anybody would take "you look like Mr. Dewey" as a compliment, right?
So I don't maybe not. I mean, but you know, that's the thing, is that Dewey is kind of I love how there's like certain teachers that sort of become the like figurehead of the episode depending on what the thing is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so he is clearly like in charge of the election, or maybe he's just like officiating it. I don't understand.
I don't get that either, actually, because I would think that, I mean, he's always the math teacher. I think Dewey is. Dewey's a teacher. I mean, unlike Tuttle, who teaches every subject there is, I'm fairly certain every episode I've seen Mr. Dewey, and he is the math teacher. And I would assume that whoever's running the school election would be like the government, the history teacher, or the government teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
And not the math teacher, unless it's just as base as like, well, I know how to count the votes. I'm the math teacher.
Right.
I don't know. So yeah, that was weird to me too.
What put him in charge?
Yeah.
But so then the other question I sort of had about him was, he's the one that's like going on the trip to DC.
I guess if he's the teacher in charge of the election, that he would be the chaperone on the trip, I guess.
So Zach gets to party with Dewey in DC.
Who would? And so then the trip is just Mr. Dewey and the winner, like just the two of them.
Well, you were mentioning all of the inappropriate alone time scenarios that happen in the show, where like there's an adult. And like, but we can get to that later, but it's just,
but
like,
yeah, that would be another case of it. Like, oh, it's just going to be a teacher and a kid going, well, that leads us. Cause yeah, the next thing is Zach overhearing Belding telling Dewey about the Washington DC trip. And what's interesting to me about this, no slight to Washington DC. I've been there. It's a cool place, whatever. But just Zach's immediate, like, I'm going to go party in Washington, D.C. Like, it's hardly known as, like, the party capital of the world.
I live in California. And, you know, and yet suddenly a trip to D.C. seems so enticing. And I love how he's like, you know, no school for a week. And I was like, no, but you're going to be hanging out with your teacher the entire time.
Dewey at like, the Washington Monument. It's not, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, I'm going to party in D.C. It's so weird to me.
And then, like, oh, I guess we're going to get to the whole Screech's travel agent mom. I had no idea she was a travel agent.
No, not at all.
I'm remembering the episode where
Buzzy.
Yeah, she's the Elvis fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, she goes, and I was like, so she's a travel agent? That just changes everything that
I guess that means she probably gets good deals on going to Graceland all the time. That makes sense, because that's where they go in that episode.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it's just funny that his mother is a travel agent.
Totally.
But
so he finds out about the DC trip and is all like, oh my god, I'm gonna go party for a week. And then they cut to class where they're all in the same class. You
always.
And I went to high school together.
Yes.
Did we ever have a class together?
I don't think we ever had a class.
Like, I swear to god, the only we had lunch period together. I think, and we partied like in the halls in between classes.
Right. Yeah, it's very rare that, well, I don't think I was, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and say I was never in a class with like six of my friends.
Never. Never did that happen.
Yeah. And then let alone like
every
class. And then also if I happen to have been a twin, my twin in my class.
Those twins are in every class together.
How are they in the same class? I mean, I can get being in the same homeroom.
Yeah, of course.
Because they have the same last name.
Right.
But how are they in the same math class together?
Yeah, they're always in the same class together, all of them.
Yeah.
Always the twins, and then always this crew.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how you orchestrate. I feel like there are even times I said, like, I would try to do that. Like, I would, you know, the electives, if it's like, hey, I'm going to take Spanish, you also take Spanish.
Yeah.
But even then, you couldn't guarantee that you're
in
the
same class.
It was
always a roll of the dice. Always a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why I think it's like, they must, like, have only one class a day, and those are the only kids in that class in the school.
That's true.
It's like, it's impossible for the... I just think it's the magic of Hollywood for them to all be in the same.
Of course,
class.
Of course.
So anyway,
suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Okay, so they they're in the class, and that's when Dewey is like, "Hey, well, the only person running is Jesse," and then that's when Zach's like, "Guess what? I am too," and they're like, "What?" And he goes, "I wrote this down because I didn't even know they ever sang about anything other than surfing." He said, "It's like the Beach Boys say, be true to your school." What Beach Boys song is that in? I don't like the Beach Boys.
Oh, I think it is the song Be True to Your School. Like, it's just
that's
like,
a song?
Yeah. I mean, I...
That's a dumb song.
Yeah. No, but, you know, it's like a... But then, you know, I'm not...
Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from space year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years... 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy, play until your heart's content, leave comments, see the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside.